Prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. And we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is not with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're starting a series today. And it's intentional, okay? We started looking at the local church. Yeah, so we started looking at the local church January this year. Did it for a few weeks, into months. Then went into the believer's authority. Did it for about 2 months, about 8 weeks, thereabout. Then went into what? Engaging the streets, evangelism. All together, we poured out our hearts in that series, is that right? Yeah, and we closed that series on Wednesday. If one of your questions in life as a Christian is how do you reach out? How do you win souls? How do you engage people in the streets with God's word? How do you raise up a disciple in the faith? How do you lead as a disciple in the Christian faith? We've poured a lot into that series. I would think that that is rich enough for a foundation. For a what?
Foundation.
Hallelujah. So go back, lay your hands on that teaching. All teaching should be made available this week. We probably should have over 20 tracks there, an average of an hour, 30 minutes. So you have a lot of knowledge you can get from there, right? And also, if you have people who you think are asking you, oh, I don't know how to go about it, you can also share the tracks with them as well. But today we are going to a series titled what?
Consecration.
Say consecration.
Consecration.
Consecration. Now, we want to look through what the Bible teaches as consecration. And really, I said it. This series first in 2019, if I'm not mistaken, but it was a different title. It was a different title in 2019, yeah. But what I want to do in this particular series is to revisit the things we said there and just to charge us and admonish us in the way of the Lord. You know, one of the things we found out, or I found out in the very few days of being a believer, or a conscious believer, when I mean conscious of our environment, I found out that to a very large extent, when people go through things in life, the first thing that suffers for it is their commitment to God. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Do you agree? Yeah. When people go through challenges in life, the first thing, like if you look at your calendar and you say your calendar is busy, the first thing you want to do is to reduce prayer time, reduce meeting time, reduce church time, reduce fellowship time, reduce house fellowship and the likes. Right? And the question is, why do we think that the easiest route to run to readjust our calendars or amend our calendars is the Christian activities? Are we together? And we'll look through scriptures and see what exactly is expected from us. You see, I don't really think I'm one who, as a pastor, will tell you that life will not throw challenges at you. I'm not one who would assure you, right, that the storm will not reach. Are we together? Even the Jesus that gave us that authority and confidence, right, the storm did not see Jesus on the boat and say, ah, Jesus is there, I'm not blowing. Did you get that? Yeah? But you see, the difference between you and an unbeliever is your response in situations. Are we together? Yeah, you see, that I remember a couple years ago, we used to say things. I think I heard it first from my mom. But I know she doesn't say it again. A life without Christ will be full of crisis. Okay, we all know it's okay. Yeah. You know, so I heard that over a decade ago, right? And it was making sense to me. You know, but when you look through, maybe because I was still in school, they're still paying my fees. Right? So I don't really understand what crisis means. You know, if you're in school, they're giving you pocket money, they're sending you, you don't really know what life is about. You know, until you step out of the four walls of school. You know now. You know. You know, some people don't want to graduate because of what you call money in the pocket. Are we together? And before you know it, some people, once you just graduate like this, if you're that kind of person, you come from a family where your father says, I want you to be a survivor. And he says, go and look for your place. You know how some parents do that? They first pay your first rent. They help you pay your first rent. You cannot say the rent has expired, you're going back home. You have to look for how to what? Continue paying the rent. Right? But what am I saying? I'm saying, if you look through life as a whole, There are challenges everywhere. Yeah. Write it. Write it. Me, I'm telling you, there are challenges everywhere. Right? You know, and we go through our daily activities and daily life as humans, taking risks every day. Yeah, taking risks every day. Right? So the question now becomes, what should be your slant when the storm is raging? What should be your slant when the storm is raging? In this world that we are in, we'll find out that the storm will rage. The storm will blow. Well, you see, if you've not got your foundation fixed on the right things, the storm will affect. Hallelujah. You see, when things happen around us, the most important thing for the believer is the response of the believer to life. And that is why usually you hear me say things like, the believer needs to always be prepared and be ready. You see, if it is when you hear one of your uncle is in the hospital, you now start doing night vigil for 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, then it means that that ability to do vigil is in you. You get it? Yeah? That ability to do vigil is in you. But you've not deliberately, intentionally what? Cultivated it. You see, there is not, you see something called spiritual growth. You cannot lay hands on someone to grow spiritually. You see, with everything in my head, if you like, come and lie down, let me step on you. You know, the reason why I'm stepping on you is so that all the weight of my glory will enter you. You know, because I say only my hand cannot carry the weight. Lie down, let me step on you. Yeah? When you stand up, you probably stand up, you stand up worse than you went, than you were, because you will feel pain.
Yeah.
Right? So you can't say, oh, pastor laid hands on me, and all of a sudden, I know the entire Bible. But you can say, pastor laid hands on me, and that fine-tuned, okay? You can say, that created a platform. You can say, oh, that enabled. But to say that because hands were laid on you, and together, there are faculties in you that can be opened. But when you see the practice of spiritual growth as a concept, it takes intentionality. Are we together? It takes intentionality. You see, spiritual growth in the Christian faith is not about the number of years you've lived as a Christian. If you get yourself in a challenge or in a conversation, and to prove to people that you've grown spiritually, you have to mention the year you were born again. You have to mention the year that you started doing so all manners of things. Then it looks to a very large extent that you need to pay attention to your spiritual growth. Let me give you an instance. Imagine a demon-possessed person comes here. Right? What do you expect us to do? Cast the demon now. Imagine what you're saying to me is, I was born again in 1999. Who are you to confront me? You know, before I say comfort, they can give me one dirty slap. Have you seen demons that beat people? In Christ. Is it in the Bible now?
Yes.
You understand? Yeah. You know, so the truth is, you should be well prepared in such a way that when that situation happens, you know how to tackle it. So what is it about the Christian that the Christian needs to pay attention to? Look at Romans 12. Let's start somewhere today. Look at Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. But before we go to verse 1, look at verse 11. Romans 12, 11. Or verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. Are you in verse 9?
Yeah.
Romans 12, 9. Let's read together verse 9 to 11. 1, 2, 3, go. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Now look at verse 11. 1, 2, 3, go. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Okay, so when Bible says or gives an instruction not to be slothful in business. All together. When the Bible gives an instruction not to be slothful in business, does that mean there's a tendency for one to be slothful? All together. It means there's a tendency for one to be slothful. If it says fervent in spirit, does it mean there is a way someone cannot be fervent?
Yeah.
Is every Christian fervent?
No.
Release your voice. Is everybody fervent?
No.
Are you fervent?
Yes.
You're trying your best. You're doing the little you can do. Altogether. So when Paul says not slothful in business, it means a believer can be fully persuaded about the resurrection of Christ and is sluggish.
Yeah.
And is slothful. And is not fervent. So there's something called fervency in the Christian faith. You see, not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Okay? So can a man be in the Lord and is not serving? Okay? So a man can be in the Lord and is not fervent.
Yeah.
Right? A man can be in the Lord and is not what? And is slothful.
Yeah.
Right? So what is expected of the believer? Don't be slothful. Be fervent. Serve. Are we together? Don't be slothful. Be fervent. So if you go through scriptures, we'll find out and we'll see severally across the scriptures the act, the art, and the practice of consecration. Now, let me give you a good definition of consecration I saw online, really, right? You're probably in this dictionary, right? It says, it means to make or to declare something as sacred. I'll say it one more time. To make or to declare something as sacred, right? Or to devote irrevocably to the worship of a supreme being. To make or declare something as sacred, or to devote irrevocably to the worship of a supreme being in context of the believer God. Right? It's the kind of devotion that sets you apart and makes you sold out to the Lord. You know, some people write sold out, but they're not sold anything. You know, you can have a shirt sold out, and you can tell that they are still buying you. Yeah, you can tell that you are not sold anything, you are still on the shelf, right? But you see, consecration is an act of prioritizing the kingdom of God and his will.
Why?
One of the popular questions I grew up learning, in fact, as a 2012 into 2013 into 14 thereabout, I had a lot of people reach out to me with questions around how can they discover their purpose in life? You know, it's a question that comes up on the heart of a young person. Because they've told you while growing up that you have to discover. You see, someone says, your purpose is that thing that when you keep doing it without being paid. Let me say something, I taught SO teach it. Right? Your purpose is that thing that you keep doing, that even if you are not being paid, you will keep doing it. Right? Some of you were purpose driven. There's a life and there's church. Right? See, how do you find your purpose? Just sit down in your room. Think about that thing that you'll be doing. That if they're not paying you or they're paying you, you will just keep doing it. Some of you say it's sleep. Some of you say it's food, eating. Are we together? You know, so you now start seeing people start channeling their inner strength. Right? You know, so I'm working in purpose. I'm working in the will. You know, but the truth is that for the believer, God has a will for your life. God has a purpose. There is no believer that is purposeless in Christ. No believer. Found out what their purpose is in Christ. And you see, if you read through scriptures properly, you'll find out that the purpose of a believer is not outside the work of the Lord. And the work of ministry. So God does not call you to be a doctor. Amen.
Amen.
How about Jesus? Yeah? God did not call me to be an engineer. You see, I just like playing with needles. When I was young, they used to buy syringes for me. Right? And I feel like if I don't do medicine, I will not be successful in this life. Are we together? You see, your passion and desire to have a fleshly career is a natural instinct that God has put in man. What I mean is, you don't need to be, look at, when I mean, I knew I was going to be an engineer from my primary 3 or my primary 2. My parents knew already. Yeah, from my primary 2. So I didn't get to SS, whatever you call it. And I started saying, what do I do next now? Where is their money? If you do event planning, you will need contact. But if you do something around international relations, AI or cyber security, that's where the money is. And you see, you didn't tell anybody that discussion you had with yourself. All of a sudden, you come and start telling everybody it is God's will for your life. And you start pursuing what? AI. Please, what are you pursuing?
Your career.
The money! Don't forget it! What influenced cyber? What influenced ATV? It's passion. Passion. Sister Tom, is it passion that makes you go to work every morning? Is it passion that makes you go to work every morning? Yeah? If it's based on passion to go to work, a lot of us don't work, I know. Do you understand? Imagine you are passionate, you don't have work. Your rent is due. You say, can I say my passion? You don't tell landlord. Landlord, I'm so passionate too. Landlord, you might not see the passion, but it's within. See, it's in you. You know that, but it's in you. Right? It's in you. It's not passion. Are you with me? You know, so if you look at life one way or the other, everybody is looking for money. Even people that are not looking for money, there is this time to look for the money. If I tell you they're not looking for money, are we together? You see, in this world, the easiest person to listen to is the motivational speaker. They are so good at it. So somebody was selling how to build 6-figure financial success in 6 months, and was selling it by the road.
Yes.
How many of you have joined JSC group chat? Yeah, your financial freedom is in your hand, right? See, all you need is what? Bring to be good, I'll bring to be good. Everybody is looking for money. What am I saying to you? Even your pastor.
Yeah.
Is that about me? No, but the truth. Everybody is looking for money. Everybody's looking for money. Money is important. It is. You understand? What am I saying to you? It's one thing for you to have money. It's another thing for money to have you. When you will do everything at any cost to get money, then you're in trouble. Are we together? Then you're in trouble. Then you're in trouble. So, it's very important for you to actually know where to put money as a thing. See, money is something that, my wife, I always tell my wife something, she knows, right? Yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this. I always say it like, with the way we are putting hard work in this life, what we cannot afford to pay, we may. Yes, and it's not always we will. Because people can not afford today, I'm not afford tomorrow. Is I'm not afford next tomorrow. That's life. What I'm trying to do with this series is to ensure that your heart remains fixed regardless of what comes your way. You know, you can actually apply for 2,000 jobs. I had a friend, she had applied for jobs. I started doing Excel sheets. You know, I do Excel sheets, company A, company B, company A. You put status before him. That's why you know we have project manager and it's your passion. And you now have status complete, pending, phase one, stage two, stage three. All of you are like that. So you know how to, you know, so when the person now calls you, and I say, give me a second quickly. You open your document. I apply for this job. What is this? Okay. Because some of you study project management, you apply for nursing role. You just threw your CV to a nursing hospital. And I just said, anywhere the money comes from. That's passion in itself. You understand? So you realize that. There is no assurance that after the 2000th job, for example, given no, let me shock you. Do you know that you can, after your 2001st job, you get an offer in the morning and in the evening, they say they have a more suitable candidate? And you don't tell everybody in your family. That's why you don't blame people when they want to keep information till the day that they actualize everything. The day that they get the job and they go there and they say, ah, welcome to this company. Because now you can go and tell your helper that you found a job. And your helper stops giving you tip. Your helper starts giving you help. And you'll not be strong enough to go back and tell them, I need your help. Help me. You see, in life, you must ensure that you have your heart safeguarded against the challenges of life. But I can assure you, challenges will come. Challenges will come. You see, even the richest men in the world, they lose millions of dollars. All together. But for the Christian, there's something different. We have a model in Christ Jesus, which we're going to look into over time. So we said consecration is declaring something as sacred. So it means that if you're going to be consecrated as a person, you are declaring yourself as holy, sacred, unto the work of the Lord. Not slothful, is that true? Fervent, serving the Lord. So it's very important to note these things and actually pay attention to them. You know how... I've heard people say things like, there's nothing like you give your life to Christ. You've heard that doctrine, right? Yeah. No, you don't give your life to Christ. It's nothing to give your life. You don't have a life. Yes, we know. You see, John 3:16. Can we all quote that together? John 3:16, 1, 2, 3, go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So, you, in John 3:16, are you giving or receiving?
Receiving.
Who is giving? God so loved the world that he gave. So God is the one that gave, you receive. Right? So if you think about salvation as a subject, right? Who gives in salvation?
God.
What do you have to give? Nothing. Yeah?
Yeah.
At salvation, what do you have to give?
Nothing.
What does God have to give? Yeah? Except anyone believes in shall not perish but have everlasting. So God gives life in salvation. What do you give? Nothing. What does God receive in salvation? Yep, your faith, your belief, your heart, but not life. But the moment you are born again and you now have his life, what do you do with that life? You give it back. So that is how you give your life to Christ. So at salvation, you don't give your life to Christ. You receive his life. Then make his life your life. And in that, you are what? Giving him back your life. So is there a thing called giving your life to Christ?
Yes.
But not what you call altar call?
Yes.
You know altar call?
Yes.
Come, lift your hands. I count 1 to 10. Make sure you're in front, right? I make a U-turn. You understand? I give you life. Yeah. Once you receive salvation, there is a second part of it. A lot of us don't like talking about that part. We just like saying, no, I'm holy, I'm righteous. Pastor, talk us to that, justified. Those are truths. But that a truth exists does not mean that there is no other truth that exists in that truth.
Yes.
Do you understand? Yeah? So there's such a thing called giving your life. Giving your all. It means that what will be priority for you will be things of God, the things of the kingdom. It means that you will not allow your life to influence your consecration, but you allow your consecration to influence your life. Very important. You know, there are some things you will sacrifice because of your consecration. Yeah? There are some things you will sacrifice because of your consecration. There are some things you will let go of because of your consecration. Right? So, you know, we've looked through the scriptures to see that God gives life, then we receive life. Now look at 3 John. Let, before we go to 3 John, go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Let's read in context. Look at verse 15. Study to show thyself approved. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that what? Needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now look at verse 16. Look at the instruction Paul gives Timothy. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto what? More ungodliness. And their word will eat as though a canker. You see that word canker? That's where you have that word cancer. Yeah? Are you here? Yeah? And of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, right? So Hymenaeus and Philetus are examples of people that Paul is describing. So if we were to explain Hymenaeus and Philetus, what will you say from verse 17? They are those who their words eat like what?
Cancer.
Are you following? Yeah. Now look at verse 18. Who concerning the truth they've heard, that means they've gone into error, right? He says, saying that the resurrection is past already, and by saying that they overthrew the what? The faith of some. Now what does scripture say in verse 19? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. So having this what? Seal. What is the seal? The Lord knoweth them that are his. Okay? The Lord knoweth them that are his. Is that people? The Lord knoweth them that are his. Is that people?
No.
Okay. If Paul says that Hymenaeus and Philetus, they've erred, could that mean they were on the right path before?
Yes.
Could it mean they were born again?
Yes.
But in their being born again, they erred in what? Error. In doctrine. Is that true?
Yes.
Right? So, when Paul says the Lord knoweth them that are his, is that people? So go back a step further. Remember when I was charging us before, when I took over the mic, right? I said something about how God has eternal children, right? So a child of God is God's child eternally, even though the child stops acknowledging it.
Yeah.
Yeah? Because what makes you a child of God forever is not your acknowledgement that is continuous. It is in the fact that he has given you his life. So can a man who is born again err in doctrine?
Yeah.
Can a man who is born again, sanctified, righteous, holy, say Jesus did not die?
Yes.
What has he done? He has erred in doctrine. He has gone into error. But is this it?
Yes.
Because the doctrine of a man does not make a man unsaved. Because it's not the doctrine of a man that made a man saved. Are you here? Are you here? The doctrine of a man does not make a man unsaved. God is so loving that he cannot put, or he will not rather, or he didn't put the salvation of man to be dependent on the knowledge of man. You see that knowledge will differ from pillar to post. From pillar to post. That's why when you go to a school, there's always some schools, they'll say there's, in secondary school, then they'll say there's first position, there's second position, there's third position. Right? And there's fifth position, and there's what? 20th position, and there are 20 in the class. Is that true? Right? 20th position. And first position, are they the same?
No.
Are they the same?
No.
They're not the same. Eh. But we're all one.
We are one in Christ.
Okay, in Christ. I see. So, can somebody be in Christ and take 20th in class?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you're coming up, right? You know, when we were growing up in school, right? In fact, in my head, I can remember the person that consistently took, yeah, in primary school. right? And there's no other biblical name than that. Don't let me not say it. Yeah? So you can be a Christian, born into a Christian family. Do you, let me say this. Do you know you can be a pastor and fail? I've not seen a video of pastors doing, you know what they call, there's a word. It's actually Greek, but it has a Latin root. It's actually, it's pronounced orijo. Orijo. Yes, that's a Latin word, right? The root is from the Grecian mythology, right? And the etymology of that word, yeah? So it just means people that cheat. I had a friend, one, not my friend, I knew him, sorry. Have you seen people write their entire note on their body? They write the entire textbook on their body. I'll tell you something, but it's, I think, this should not come out well. Let me leave it to my inside. See. So people are so good at cheating that if you take them to theology school, they will still cheat. I saw a guy write one day, so I mean, secondary school is short, that people were lots of school where from where I come from, you know. So as I was just walking, there's a way he was walking, and as the trouser would be coming up, I just be seeing some write-ups. I thought it was tattoo. Until I just got to the exam, I just saw him, he sat just in front of me, and you know, and his head was like this throughout. But you could see his hand was moving. But you could see also this hand too was moving. But later I now found out that he wrote the entire, you know, that course was one of the courses where the lecturer would tell you, you know what it's called, AOC?
Yeah.
Is that the word? AOC, area of concentration. You know, some of you, your parents pay school fees in your head. You miss all the classes just waiting for OEC, AOC. And when lecturer doesn't give you area of concentration, you say it's wicked. And they pay full school fees for you. And you write everything. And you go to theology school and you write everything. But the painful ones are the ones that cheat and fail. I feel bad. It's not bad. How many of you know this? There's a calculator called Casio FX 997? Is that the FX 997? Or something like that, FX something. Right? You know you can put formulas. You study law, right? Yeah. You put on, so you just see some people. All they need to go into the exam or read is biro and that calculator. If you calculate anything, you will store formula. There's another one. There's a wristwatch. They can put formula as well. No. Don't say that about me. Stop it right there. Stop that. Let me tell you. I have friends that are interested. Right? Yeah, I remember the last time I cheated in my life, let me actually say. It was probably the first. No, I won't say no. Well, I used to talk. Yes, I used to talk. No, but not. We used to ask all the questions, just like few. Yes, remind me of the formula. You know, just tell the formula where X is. You know, some people that are brilliant, stay around them. Just let them give you the final answer. You walk your walking towards the answer. You walk your walking towards the answer, right? Obviously, you just do 27 divided by 100. 2. Right? So it was in my second year university. There's a course called Science of Materials. Okay. Material science, yeah? For some other school, material science, of materials. You see, that course, that one I knew that if I did not ask somebody, I will carry over. And it was a unanimous decision in the class. So what we now decided to do was you read there. Right? You know, but guess what? So that was the first time I properly did the I went into the classroom with an intention. And guess what? lecturer just stepped up. You know, you have some lecturers that they know you want to cheat. So they just do as if they're and there are some that when they do it, you understand? They are setting trap for you. I'm already just looking at you. I remember two of my friends were sitting, they wanted to exchange their answer sheet. No, question sheet, because they wrote the answer at the back of the question. And as the lecturer just turned, it was just whistling. And he just turned back. He just saw paper flying. And guess what now happened? They now froze. They now froze. So, you know, so it was next exam. And he now say, everybody write your matric number on your question paper. And I said, so what Brother Sensu material taught me a lesson. He taught me that in this life, you need to study to show yourself approved. Went to the exam hall. And guess what? Because I don't know how they should do it. I'm not used to it. I started asking questions. And one senior HOD, so HOD just walked by the window. He just walked through and just... And you know, me and I started looking at the floor. You know, there's a way you will know how to do it. That before you know, your head will just adjust back and you just continue writing. I said, looking at the floor. And that course, we had it, it was a tunnel level course, it was a general course. Joshua used to stand up. Hey. I was the class rep. Pianist of the church. Committed and devoted in the local assembly. Joshua used to stand up. You know what happened? What saved me that time was that because I'd answered the one I knew. I knew if I sat down for another 1 hour to finish the exam, nothing more would be added to my paper because I didn't know what to write. So when he just said stand up, I just took the sheet, I went to submit, and I left it home.
Yeah.
I didn't carry it over.
Glory.
Right? But you see, from that day, I told myself, in my life, one thing I don't like is embarrassment. No, we can be joking together, but just stand up. It's not like it's me and some other people, only me. That's the last day I copied in my life. I can never forget it. You know what happened? From that day, the next course, I just go to the front seat. And I always make sure I was the last. So, in school then, if my exam is for 2, if you see me at 1:30, I've not showered for the exam. At 1:30. That's 30 minutes to the exam. I expected to be in the hall 15 minutes before. Right? So the ones you read, you read. The ones you cram, you cram. So you don't want anybody to come and be asking you a question. And you know, as they talk to you, you now miss the formula. You now change minus to plus. The way your pattern, you know, the way you've been running, that your head has to be straight. So that the quarter does not fly out. You know, but if that engineering student, you understand what I'm trying to say. Because you have to keep that formula. Without the formula, you cannot do anything. You will just copy the question back for the lecturer. Nothing. So that I'm not 1:30. I just be blowing whistle in my hostel. I'll go to the just shower. 11:30 and 1:30. That's when I went to the bathroom. I go and shower. Right. I will not get to the auditorium until 2:01. And you know, normally people don't like sitting in front, so they are endless sitting in front. So I just enter the hall, sit at the front, face my work. Right. Because of what? Embarrassment. Well, now imagine somebody who cheats. You know, someone when we're graduating, unfortunately, it's not to mock anybody, but someone that reached out to me and said, we cannot go this year. And I felt like this person is cheating for 100 level. The pattern of the cheating is being, you know, some people who have been cheating from primary school, but you just know how to cheat. You know, but it's always painful when you cheat and you're cheating. You still fail. Yeah, how did I get there? You know, I said I would digress today. Right. But anyways, the point I'm trying to say to you is that regardless of what you go through, whether you fail, I remember what I was talking about, pastor can fail in theology school. Whether you fail or not, you are still in Christ, sanctified, holy, righteous. Right. So it means that there's a thing called I surrender all. You know, you can sing I surrender all and you're not surrendering all. I surrender to you, Jesus, and tears are coming out. But there's nothing surrendered about you. There's this song that we say, I gave myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I'm from church. Club.
Okay, give yourself away. Away from the things of God.
Give yourself away from the things of God. Yeah? And from there, have you not seen somebody who just cried now and as soon as the person just finished crying? Must just reach the door. Someone just step on them. Yeah?
No.
Abby, can't you? Are you okay at home? That's what I gave myself. My mom used to give an example of a man who, in the bus, he, you know, there was one day the conductor just offended him in the bus. So he was trying to be, I'm a believer. It's not because I'm a believer, but I've dealt with you. Now go upstairs one period of time. Like, you know, say, you see what? I'm going to drop that believing believer aside. I will beat you to the pulp. When I finish you and I take you to hospital and treat you, I'll go back and pick my believing believer and continue the journey. You know, some of us believe that our surrendering to God is partial or can be partial. After all, we can hide under the guise of we're all growing. You know, some people remain in sinful lives and habits. And hide under the fact that after all, everybody has an issue. Let's see that doesn't have sin cast the first stone. Look at who is talking. Look at who spoke about it in the Bible. You see the difference? So you now, you are clearly seeing something that is false. You know some people, right? There's some people, you don't need to pre-inform them to lie for your sake. Have you seen some of those videos where a wife wants to find out where the husband went to? Right? And the husband is directly with the wife and now call his friend. This is coming to your house. He's right here now. He's beside me. And the husband too is beside the wife. So they are beside each other. Yeah? And you see some people, they just have that act and out of line anyhow. Why? Because just feel like, you see, that kind of attitude to life is not a life of consecration. It's a life where you feel like you want to have the best of both worlds. And you know, it's something that happens in our world today. I met someone recently, a couple of years ago, and she was asking me a question, how did you decide to be this committed to Jesus at this young age? And I said, well, thank you for my parents and the foundation they laid for me and they set for me, but I had to intentionally make up my mind. I had to make up my mind. When all my friends were trying to do all manners of things and all sorts of things, I intentionally stayed away from it. I guess the person's response after was, you try though. Me, I want to wait till I'm 35, 40. You know, somewhere in your heart, you think you have time in your hand. Somewhere in your mind, you think you know what will happen tomorrow. Do you know that more often than not, people that plan for tomorrow that don't see tomorrow, they had a plan for tomorrow.
Yes.
That's life. That is life. You see, I never saw myself pastoring. If you had looked at me 10 years ago, whilst I was committed to Jesus, I never would have thought I would be pastoring a people in 2024. I saw myself making the money. Altogether, I saw myself making the money. You know that kind of plan? Once you are here, once crossover. Once you are here already, crossover, you start making $1 million in a year. I know how some of you can calculate. You can calculate, start up, you multiply it. Look, you say, this one for B, this one, I'll have extra here. You know, but life happened. And together, and we're here today. What I'm saying to you is that you don't have as much time as you think you have. No. You don't have as much time. Look at Ephesians 5, quote. Ephesians 5. You see, these things we say in the local church is for your benefit. It is to help you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Are you there? Let's read verse 15 and 16 together. and verse 17. Let's read 15 together. 1, 2, 3, go. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Does this summarize what I've spoken about in the last 40 minutes? He says, wherefore be not unwise. That means some believers act wise, some don't act wise. So there's a way not to act wise. That is, you need to actually pay attention to what the will of the Lord is. Now look at verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know the word there, evil? The word there, evil. You know, and the Bible uses it as well in Mark chapter 7, Matthew 7, 7. Ask it shall be given. How many of you know that scripture? That scripture? Ask it shall be given unto you. Seek it shall find. Knock the door shall be opened unto you. Right? I've taught that severally. Right? And that story is not about asking for anything in the universe. Okay? Right? Because the Bible says that if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Father which is never give you what? Good things. I would say the good thing there is what? The Holy Spirit. Yeah? Look at me looking at Luke. We taught it from the Bible. Right? But we said, the Bible says that if ye as fathers who are evil, we said the word there evil. Do you remember the definition of that word evil?
Unstable.
Unpredictable. Is man unstable?
Yes.
Are you unstable?
Yes.
Say it well now.
Yes.
You know yourself now. Anything that makes you say you know, you tell somebody I'll be there by 4 sharp. 4 sharp. And at 3:50, you just finished brushing. They're looking at 4 sharp. Are we together? That's unpredictable. So God is saying, if man can be unpredictable, yet man chooses to give their children good things, how much more the Father, who is God predictable?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yeah, he's a faithful God. He's the one that says it and he will do it.
Yeah.
God, when he says something, doesn't bring it to pass because of how well you comply or coordinate or believe or... No, if he says it, he does it. Eh? That's how we measure God's faithfulness. God is not faithful to you because you are faithful. Question is, are you even really faithful? Are you really even faithful? They say, join 15 minutes prayer. You come on the 13th minute and increase your voice. Are you really faithful? If God were to respond to you based on your faithfulness, you know where you will be. But that's not who God is. God is faithful because he is faithful. So if he brings his words to pass, it is not because of you. It's because he is faithful. Okay? So scripture says that if you being unstable, unpredictable, know how to give good gifts to your children. How about the Father? That same word is the word used here in verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are what? So what do you replace with evil in your Bible? Unstable or what? Unpredictable. Are the days unpredictable?
Yes.
Yes, now. You know, you can go out there now and want to wait for your boss. And you wait for 1 hour. See, man can try as much as possible to ensure that the environment and economy goes in a certain way that can be predictable. But you know, it's not always so. It's not always so. You know, you can be rushing for a flight, and all of a sudden, the flight has taken off. You can also be rushing for a flight, and now find that the flight has been delayed 4 hours. That's, as long as you are dealing with human interaction, you must find instability. Is that the word? Instability. Or what's the other word?
Unpredictableness.
Unpredictability. I think that's the word. Right? You will find it. So, Paul says, redeeming the time. So what does that mean? It means, you don't say, I'll pray tomorrow. Some of us have said we'll pray tomorrow for 10 years. You know, that's why I always tell you, if your mind is not renewed, you will start a new year. And with your renewed mind, you will, in quote, fail in what you said you will not do again. How many of you know how to write New Year? Is it resolution or revolution? Okay, resolution. New Year resolution. So, monzo, rose, resolve. Okay, resolve, resolution. Okay. Yeah, so, this year, next year, I want to finish my Bible 2 times.
Yeah.
Happy New Month. Yeah. Today's what? You are still in Genesis 1. Brother Esther. Sister John. Eh? You are still in Genesis 1. And John 2025 is already approaching.
Yeah.
And I see the, on the horizon, I see a year beckoning. Beckoning with lights. And it's beckoning and beckoning. Right. You see, if you don't actively make your day count, your life will not count.
Yeah.
I sound so motivational today. You have to ensure in this life that you are deliberate. That's what I always tell you. Don't you just live a life. You just, okay, let me say differently. You just received Jesus into your life last week. And you say, what will you bring to 2 hours every day? I remember a brother one time traveled from one city to come, and someone invited him, so he came to our, one of our local assembly in Abuja. So he helped me preach. I think I was talking about how salvation is eternal. So he got so excited. He said, what? I've never heard this before. I said, so he said he wants to be traveling every Sunday for service. Even my own conviction. I don't know if my conviction has reached me as the pastor that preached that man's message. I don't think my conviction has reached to be traveling every Sunday. You see, I know I always tell you, I have different categories of friends. If I want to feel like I'm doing well as a believer, I know who to call now. Once I hear them talk, I know they're not serving Jesus. I have a list. Once I just hear that person's voice like this, I know they're not serving Jesus. But there are some friends I reach out to, I call them. Right? When I hear their voice from the first mess, you know, you should have friends around you asking you, how is ministry? Not every day, how is your clothes? How is your work? How is your job? Every day. You should not be the only kind of people you surround around yourself. You see, else your consecration can dwindle.
Yeah.
I have some friends today, if I know that my commitment to prayer is not good, I just give them a call. Just give me 30 minutes with them. I'll be back. Just give me 30 minutes with them. I'll be back. You know, there's a brother. Have you ever talked about the brother who in this UK travels for 10 hours every weekend for Sunday service? If you ever talk about it, did I introduce him to you? It's not far-fetched. It's not his life. He travels every Sunday for, I don't mean 5 hours go, 5 hours come. 10 hours go, 10 hours back for church. Did it for over a year. your boss is just boss 19 here. Your boss is just boss 2. Eh? You say, let me catch the one for 10:02. Church is 10:00. Let me catch the one for 10:02. You are catching boss 10 for 10:02 for service that is 10. You are catching it. And she, when I come to church, you just say, yeah, peace. It's a great provider. And people are already praying. You see, there's a sense of devotion you would have. That the way I see some of us, and because of the small knowledge we know, you see people running to church, they don't know revelation reality. Why are you running? Why are you running? It's not church. We'll get there. He travels. Church was 10. He starts at 10. He leaves his house around 11:30 on Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. to get to church before 10, and he will come to church before those catching bus. And once service finishes, he doesn't pass 3 hour service, so he starts his journey again for 10 hours back to his house. Did it for over a year. Yeah, Pastor, why did you come to your pastor? The fuel, my diesel was just the diesel tank was just going like this. Like they just let me allow the car to rest Sunday. Sunday, yeah. That's what I just feel like. Let the car just rest. I just feel like the car is working. You are repeating your car,
yeah.
Right? Maurice said something to me yesterday. She said, "Let me say it openly." You said it right. She said she's waiting for a day that will go late to a Sunday service late. And she said it's not possible. She's praying for that day. So the day, Okay, let me say that. So I'm reframing. So the day I come late, just know I'm answering a prayer. Are we together? You know, but what am I trying to say? She knows no matter what happens, if it's church or if your car is not working, nearest bus station, nearest train station. Now, I'll just stream on, I'll just stream online. You know, God is everywhere. God is everywhere. I feel him in my body. You know, some of you will be on your, some of you that are watching me now, you'll be on your bed. When they were singing, I am who you say I. It's free. Let me go prepare conflict. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Then you now put, some of you can sleep with iron brew. What's all this energy booster? Powerhouse. You drink one bottle of powerhouse and it now ignites your sleeping. So, what the pastor teach today? I just know we're just shouting. We're just talking from here to there. It was not coordinated. What am I saying to you? You see, your devotion, commitment to Jesus should be consistent. There's something in physics called constant time. You know what you mean constant? Yeah? When you introduce a constant to a derivative, right? And the improper fraction changes, right? Into an equal, yeah? If I remember well. Yeah? So, for instance, Ohm's law says that the current flowing through, yeah, is directly proportional to the velocity, right? Yeah? You get what I'm trying to say. You don't get forget about it. So, in the real sense, what you now say is when you put a constant K, it becomes equal to K over. That, yeah, and where K is something. You see, let your Christian life, regardless of the improper directional, let your K be your focus on Jesus. That the day, see, if I tell you the things I go through as a pastor, you open your mouth, you say, I know the funny thing. I am just a very young, few days old baby on this journey. Right? So in my head, I'm like, our church is growing. So what will I be experiencing 5 years from now? You see, don't let the reason why your pastor is discouraged be you.
Yeah.
Write this in your notes, write it. Put a stereo. Say, can you hear? Don't let the reason why your pastor is discouraged be you. Don't let the reason why your pastor is discouraged be you. It just really shows that your consecration, your devotion is something you need to uphold. Brother John, Brother Ebuka, why were you not in church on Sunday? Why were you not in church on Wednesday? Pastor, you know, there's one of my uncle. He just called me that he's going to Edinburgh. And I have to go and meet him at the airport. What time is the flight? 4 p.m. Sunday, 4 p.m. And Sunday, 4 p.m., meet you to meet service of 10 a.m. Ah, no, no. And he said, Pastor, you know, I have to cook and make the house ready. I don't understand. He cannot come and you are cooking. And you're all in the house getting it ready. You know, some of the things you just give as excuses are just flimsy. I always tell you, whatever you give an excuse for, there's someone somewhere who is in a worse situation than you are that is still serving Jesus. There's someone somewhere who is going through worse than you are that is still committed and serving Jesus. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your time? You know, people say time waits for no one. I found that to be true. How did you get to September? It's really by God's grace. Right? But do you see how the weeks went by? We've done January. We've done February. I remember 2019. We're saying, well, how would the 2020s be? We're now midway by January. You know, your age, 2019, is not your age today. You're playing. For 10 years, you've been saying this year, at least I must win one soul to the kingdom. You go out on the street, you just walk around, before you know it, you start shopping. Some of you are not so general disciplined that you go for evangelism, you are spending perfume. You went to go for evangelism, they spray perfume, they give you, say, smells. What's the name of this one? You see, if you do that and your end goal is to say Jesus, that's different. I'll come back. Is that you, Sister Bill? Right? You see, your commitment to Jesus, your focus must be fixed. See, let your eyes be so fixed that no matter what comes away, you're not distracted. Yeah. I can assure you. You know, I've told you before, right? It's not every day as your pastor I feel like coming here to preach. No. Forget it. The only person that knows what is happening as much as even a half or three or three-fourths is my wife. You know what I mean? See, the devil will come every day to look for how to discourage you, to distract you. But you've got to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. There's a song that we usually sing, you know, we usually sing when we go to, it says, if rain is falling, I will what? I will follow Jesus. If fire is burning, some of you, fire did not burn. It's only smoke you saw. No choice. Some of you, rain is not falling. It's only the cloud that changed. Pastor should understand that. I mean, how lying down that day with this new hair I just made. No, they must see it on Monday. You see, the work that God wants to be done on this earth, he will do it through you and I. You know the funny thing? If you don't submit your will to doing it, you'll see somebody else who will submit their will and do that which is supposed to do. Don't let it pain you. Your sense of devotion, your sense of consecration, your sense of you know, being very intentional that no matter what comes my way, it's God, though. God is you and I. Till my last breath. And I will not be silent. Once you leave the door, you are quiet. I will always work. This is my worship. Once you leave this door. And I am silent. Once you step out of this door. You know, some of us think we don't have time for God. It's not true. How many of you finish watching? Don't lift your hands up, but I know how to point you out. How many of you finish watching a full series this week? I just passed. Some of you, your TV is on default by Netflix. On Netflix. And you know Netflix, you can't finish watching everything there. Yeah. This one. What's the rating? 8.4, 8.4. And sit down there. What do you do? You start watching. Some of you will get to season 2 and say, it's not even interesting. Season 2, you say it's not interesting. You can't look for another one. Before you know it, you sit down. When pastor is not teaching you, he doesn't. Pastor, you know you talk too much. Pastor, it is you say, you repeat things too much. Pastor, I know what you want to say next. I know what you want to say. Pastor, you know, I remember to hear someone recently, he said, a couple years ago, he said, Pastor, why do you teach for 6 hours? Pastor, I lose her from the 45th minute. That's the same person that if you see them watching Suits, somebody told me they've watched Suits 3 times. It's not Suits that reached episode season 9. It's not Suits. Why do I feel like you don't know? Why do I feel like you don't know? You have watched Suits 3 times. I feel like to say a question. How come you start watching a series when you're in episode, when you're in season 5? When they ask you, who is that person? You can trace it back. Do you remember in episode 2 or 3? Season 1. That person that brought the food to the office. That's it. So you coordinate it though. That means you follow the series. You followed each of the 40-something minutes to 1 hour track. You finished one season. You did it 5 times. Season 6. When you're not finished season 6, when will season 7 come out? Some of you in your mind said, you finish watching season 6, you start creating what season 7 should look like for the director. But it's time for the word. You say, Pastor, this is what is it? You know, you have an advantage in your word, the fact that you can pick your phone and listen to God's word.
Yeah.
You know, you can pick your phone and have an audio Bible playing.
Yeah.
You know, you can listen to gospel songs. Some of you you cannot even share the, you know how they do Spotify at the end of the year. Most listen to song. Some of you cannot share it. You can't share it. Because you see number one, Bronner. Number two, Chris Brown. Number three.
Okay, Rema.
When it's not Rema, you don't get it. When it's not the word. Yeah? Then you know, number four, that's elevation worship. Elevation worship. And that elevation worship is just because you only listen to who the song says free. Oh. What a beautiful day, you were the world at the beginning. It seems like a joke, but it's a reality. You don't have an excuse not to serve Jesus. You don't have an excuse not to serve Jesus. You don't have an excuse. Be ye not slothful, but be fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. You don't have an excuse. Your work is not an excuse. Your job is not an excuse. In fact, your child is not an excuse. Your mother is not an excuse. Your father should not be an excuse. We're going to look into that as over the course of the month. And what would Jesus say about father and mother? We forsake father and mother to follow. No, that's not saying we ignore. That's not showing irresponsibility. But you prioritize. It's Jesus first. It's Jesus first. No matter what comes your way, let your doggedness to Jesus be unflinched. Yes. Be consistent. Stay there. Just be 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 there. You see, the funny thing is, you don't know how many lives are by default hinged to your life. You don't know how many Pauls will become Paul in the next 10 years because of your commitment. Imagine Stephen did not get a persuasion that when he was stoned to death, he kept preaching the gospel. Yes, God would have still found a way to get Paul. But look at how beautiful that way happened. A man stoned to death, and in the midst of stone touching his head. Altogether, in the midst of that, he kept preaching the gospel. Some of us, they never stoned us before. In fact, some of us were the most stoning people. We know how to judge. I was talking to someone who talked to me about an ongoing conversation recently. I said, what's my thought about it? I said, what do you mean by thought for? It's not necessary. The easiest place to pastor is outside the pastorate. It is outside the, it's somebody who is not a pastor that has the best way. How will pastor talk like this? All these men said they are men after all. The easiest place to lead is outside the position of leadership. Why don't you face your business? Why don't you face your work? Somebody is committed to Jesus. You have to look for a way to floor them. One of the things I'm always grateful for in my life is the fact that I have parents who set my path on a very solid way. You see, for almost a decade more, even before my dad passed, my dad used to take me to mountains of consecration. You know what they call mountains? Not Otosito. Otosit, this one that will climb and come in 30 minutes. We've done it now. We'll do Otosit and come down. Talking about mountains where you will climb under the sun. And you go there, you will pray. You will pray. If you don't even know how to pray, when you get there, your head will just start nodding. I'm forever grateful. You see, and that's why you see, for me, I'm trying all my possible best to ensure that is not a waste. So I'm not the only one who my parents took to the mountain. I'm not the only one who my parents did devotion. I'm not the only one. You know, one of the things I miss the most about my dad is the fact that we used to, so I do it a lot with him more than we do a family retreat every year where we go to one of those mountains in the, if you know Nigeria, where we're in the West, full of hills, climb mountains, over 20. Over 20. We are going there to pray, spend 2 days, leave there. You know, sometimes I remember there was one night like this, I can never forget. We left one mountain in the States at 7 p.m. And my dad drove all the way to another mountain that was probably 3-4 hours away, middle of the night. It's not like he was safe. But my dad just said, we need to be on that place of consecration. We need to be at that place of consecration. We need to go back there and go and pray. And we'll go there, we'll spend the night, we'll spend 2 nights there, we'll be praying. We'll be sleeping in the midst of scorpions. I remember there was a day, so some of the mountains, they have women sleep here, men sleep here. That's a godly thing to do. Someone will go there and say, why are they separating people? I don't understand. So that so, one man will be sleeping, I just do like this, beside his bed, and another person's wife is there. He say, why are they separating people? Yes, it's all the segregation. You know, and one day, I was sleeping beside my dad in the men's room. And Spirit of God just woke my dad up straight, went to where my sister and mom were sleeping, right in their middle, a scorpion was there. He didn't touch them, he didn't harm them, and he killed it straight away. We didn't say that the last day we go, this mountain, very terrible. We'll go to mountains. You see, and that's why you see, the kind of men that God used are men of consecration.
Yes.
I hope you know.
Yes.
See, you can learn all the, you can learn the Greek word of consecration. If you're not consecrated, you're not consecrated. If you don't have devotion, you don't have it. The Greek word for consecration is elapotomoi.
Which means?
That implies.
That implies.
It implies. The Greek word for prayer. Praise. And that means to be in a consistent communication, communing. Pray in tongues. Yeah. Lord, we give you all the praise. Lord, there's no like you. Sanctify this your work. I've not heard of stories of men that consecrated themselves to this thing. Right? I can never forget about the man called Joseph Ayobabalola. Till today, people still go to where he is buried to receive miracles of strange sicknesses of all sorts. What a life of consecration. He's been buried almost 50 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. But we'll go there. You'll see people trooping there. You will hear of the works he has done. Without your Greek word, you've not healed madman. You are insulting somebody that healed madman because he doesn't know the Greek word for mad. Is that not mad?
It's mad. Madness.
Is that not madness? You've not healed headache. Somebody healed somebody with madness. You say he didn't use the right word. You see, the word there is alpha piafio. And the word truth is aletheia. You've not healed headache. I've not found out that God will use one of consecration more.
Yes.
It's true, though. It's not by saying yes.
You're agreeing.
But you ought to allow that stir up your faith. If you look through my calendar, there are days of the month I read on supernatural men. Yeah. Just to get myself worked up. A man called John Knox came to this Scotland and said, God give me Scotland or I die. The statue is still somewhere there. The house he lived is on Princess Street. The good day is stopping. John Knox was here. I was here. What I do with your being here? Because Ababalola was sleeping one day after praying. And what happened? A snake crawled past him. And the snake dried up. What do you think of a man? There's a man called Baba Abiye.
Yeah.
He could not see. Could not see. Yeah? But if you come and meet him, I can't remember if my dad I heard it from or something like that. He can tell you, give me that Bible. He cannot see you. You will pick the wrong Bible and say, not that one, the other one. Someone that says, angels have become to barb his hair for 20 years. You are explaining the Greek word angel and angelos. You are seeing somebody's hair, no barber has touched it. And for 20, 30 years, it has not grown more than a level. You say, angel used to barb your hair. You see, the Greek word angelos is messenger. See, situations of men giving their attention, I always give an example of a man. He was going for a crusade, right? And police stopped him. And they said, you can't go anywhere without giving us money and everything. What did he do? They said he removed his shoe. He threw it into the bush. I said, go and be looking for it. He went to go and do 3 days crusade. When he finished the crusade, he was going back through that same road. He now go back to the bush. I said, you boys, bring my shoe back. They were looking for shoe for 3 days. See, when you are hearing these things, don't be trying to explain the one that is this one or the one that is not that one. They don't know doctrine. You see, consecration. That's why I always tell you, God will use a man of prayer. God will use a man of consecration. A man of the word can be used by God, but the man of the word must know there's a thing called consecration. We can keep talking about stories of men. Stories of men. Stories of men. You see strange sicknesses. The first day someone got healed of fibroid, right? Under my administration. You know, as a pastor, you just like, oh, God, glory to God. But man, I went back home like, so this thing is real. So this thing is real. Not for anything. And I think God was just trying to confirm something. A few weeks down the line, just a few space of days or weeks, another person now was healed from fibroid again. Let me tell you what the first person took to heal from fibroid. Should I tell you? You know what the person is? Holy communion bread and wine. The first person that got healed of fibroid in our ministry was holy communion bread and wine the person took in God's palace. NG. Do you know what it is to be healed of that? And you're there saying, no. Communion is the word feast. We've taught the doctrine of communion. We don't take communion in God's palace. I'm trying to say, you cannot take away the supernatural experiences of people with communion. The problem we have a lot in our world is that we now convert these things and make it a deal. Imagine I start selling bread and wine. $2,000. Sanctified. Holy. The Bible says that the shadow of the apostles, what did he do?
It healed.
You know what it is for them to? How, you know, sometimes in the way we act, it's almost as if we don't believe the writings of the scriptures. It's in your Bible, they say somebody's shadow. So they put the sick and just say, walk past. See, it's not just by I'm sanctified, I'm holy. See, there's a place for I'm sanctified, but there's a place of devotion. Hear what people say. Peter and John, they were going to the temple to pray. They were going to what? To pray. You see, that means you need to pray before you heal. You don't hear they were going to pray. It means there was a devotion in place. It means if that man was not at the gates that day, they were going to pray. He said, no. You don't need to pray. Just. That's how they asked that one. This I know. Who are you? Where are you coming from? There's a sense of sacredness. You know, you have to set yourself apart. Yes, you are holy by the work of Jesus, but you have to intentionally set yourself apart. Give yourself apart. Here, somebody said he has prayed for 40 days. He has prayed for 20 days. You know, fasting is Old Testament. And you are eating pandegam in the morning. You finish it with beans in the afternoon. Then go and eat pasta spaghetti in the evening. And your stomach is increasing. I say, no. We don't fast. Where we come from, we don't fast. Everything is all done. Yes, people take some extremes to tackle extremes. But I don't think, in fact, that there are some doctrinal conversations that are stable, that are foundational. That are foundational. Somebody say, I've not eaten for 3 days, for 4 days. I've not eaten for 5 days. What was he doing? Or just praying. Just giving yourself prayer. See, if you pray in tongues long enough, no matter what your focus was when you were praying, you are edified, you are built, you've strengthened yourself. Build up yourself in the most holy faith by what? Praying the Holy Ghost. You build yourself up. Just take out that. See, you know, somebody was doing a video and said, if you wake up at a particular time and pray every night, don't insult them. Don't say, no, I can pray. Witches are not. It's not about witches. Why do we pray at night? No, it's not about witches. It's not about witches, though. It's one of the most quiet times to pray. It takes you away from distraction. Anybody, if you are praying in the night and someone knocks your door, you know that's a witch. Yeah? But if you are praying in the night, someone knocks your door, you can think it's Amazon.
Yeah.
Amazon cannot deliver to you at 2 a.m. I want to get that. Except to program the delivery. McDonald's, 2 a.m. People are giving their devotion. They're saying, don't put fasting and prayer in your pastor. See, when I was young in the faith, I can do 6 to 6. So what are you doing now? Some of you have started doing the one you eat at 5 a.m. And you start your fasting by 5:59. When it's time for you, when it's time to break, what time do you break? Say, Pastor, I was able to take it to 3. And the three means you started cooking rice at 2. You cook rice at 2, still was ready at 2:30. You serve your plates at 2:45. And you now put Netflix. So look at the time. 2:46. The moment you think just do 59, just carry one spoon. I just put you on my. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's hunger strike. That's hunger strike. You say you're breaking your fast. And some of you don't even know how to break your fast with watermelon. You don't know how to place orange. You have to go heavy. Heavy. You pile it up. You make it look like a mountain. When you finish, you're not, and you that you ate at 5, oh, you didn't even pray between 6 and 3. You know, fasting also, you say, God, say this is, fasting is just one of those things that, you know, if you know who you are, if you know who you are, you're more than conqueror, you know who you are, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I'm justified. You're seeing men giving their devotion. You're seeing men healing people up and down. What should that do to you? Spoil you.
Yeah.
The spirit of God in them is spirit of God in you, but their own spirit, they've trained it. They've trained it. How can you not know how to wake up early on Sunday morning? How? How can you not know? You think the most relaxing day for you is Sunday? Yeah, just everything. Pastor, when I watch on Sunday, the sun always hits it at the right time. What am I saying to you today, dear saints? You see, I'm the same person that's teaching you, you are righteous. Same person teaching you, you are sanctified. But there are practices you've got to give your attention to. If you don't do them, you will not build your muscles spiritually. You know, anything that will make you grow will stretch you first. You know, no, you don't go to gym. You can't go to gym and lift 60 kg. Even Brazil now that is lifting 250 kg. It didn't start from there. I remember, you say it's a fruit. I remember when I used to go to gym with him. Once I just look like this, he has already increased the weight. Once I look again, he has increased the weight. I say, come on, come on. Come on to where? Come on to that. Where are we coming to? Come on. You can do this. Just do 10. But you see, for me, what am I have a vision of who I want to be. You know, and the funny thing is, every day we come back from gym, the first place I go to is mirror. I start seeing the lines. Because I want my body to be like it's done overnight. It's coming out. This is what I've been lifting, nothing. I don't know if I'm lifting wrongly or my weight is not original. One more push. So even if I find myself in my gym at home, once I'm about to give up, I say, come on, push. If somebody is passing, they will think somebody is mad. They will think they came somewhere that is mad this time, waiting for another guy to come. You just hear me, just say, push. You see, but guess what? You don't give up when you don't see the signs.
Yes, sir.
In that consistency, my muscles are building. You might not see it. Is it your muscle? It's not your own. You might not see it. But I know there's something working on my inside. Hallelujah. Some of you have put you on treadmill for 2 minutes. Some of you, if you just jump training in 5 minutes, you start scratching on your body. Have you noticed? But do it for 1 week. Do it for 2 weeks. I remember the first day I went on a walk in this country. I took Uber. Took taxi. But today, I do 2 hours walk. You see, the truth is that it might not look, but the day of adversity, when it comes, if it comes, when the storm rages, you are rest assured. You are rest assured that nothing shakes you. I want this message to spur something in your heart today. Right? I want to spur something in your heart today. A sense of commitment to Jesus. A sense of commitment to his work. A sense of commitment to his purpose. Where nothing distracts you. Nothing shakes you. Nothing shakes you. Some of you, the jobs you are praying for, the jobs you are wishing for, is what will take you away from consecration. Some of you, the child you are looking for, is what will take you away from consecration. Some of you, the car you are looking for, is what will take you away from consecration. Let it be that no matter what comes, car, child, triplets, single, husband, you can't afford to be more committed outside of marriage than in marriage. Because the journey is far.
Yes, sir.
You know, my pastor, my wife doesn't really like church like that. I'm just trying to bring her. You probably knew that. Whatever you give your attention to, you get better at it. Let us pour something in you today. You don't have to wait till January 2025. Today is September 1st. For those of you that like benchmarks. Yeah? Today is the 1st of September. You can go back home. Cut off your time on social media.
Yeah.
Cut off your time on Netflix. Cut off your time on the relevant conversations.
Yes,
don't use your hours of your life to gossip.
Yes, sir.
Have you seen what is trending? Have you seen what is happening? Have you seen how that pastor is this pastor? What's your business? How does that grow you? I understand that there's some things that you cannot really escape. But you see something that is definitely not going to edify you, use your time there. What about creating 15 minutes of your day to pray every day? What about starting with 10 minutes? What about doing 15 minutes to 30 minutes in a day? In 3 months, why don't you increase 30 minutes to 1 hour? In a month, you'll find out you've spent how many hours communicating with God. You'll see your things of the Spirit getting sharper. You'll see your discernment getting sharper. Whereby you don't have to wait for believers meeting before you know what to do. You don't have to wait for believers meeting before God speaks to you. What about you being devoted, committed to his will? I want you to bend your heads right now and just talk in tongues for a bit. Just talk in tongues for a few seconds. But by consecration and devotion,